Well, happy Pentecost, brethren. All right. Well, today I'd like your ears also to listen to this message. And I would like to ask a question. And address a question that seems simple on the surface, but one that carries significant doctrinal weight. And that question is, can we win people to Jesus Christ, thereby leading individuals to believe they are saved? Many in mainstream Christianity assume the answer is an obvious yes. They believe the responsibility of Christians today is to win souls, convert the unsaved, and bring as many as possible to Christ before they die. Often, there are two scriptures that are used as a rallying cry to support their belief. The first scripture is 1 Corinthians 9:19. And this is where the Apostle Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more." And the second scripture is in 1 Corinthians 9:22, last part of the verse where he says, "That I might, by all means, save some." But is that what Paul meant, to win people to Christ or to save some? To answer that, let's start out with a foundational biblical principle. Please turn to John 10, verse 35. That's John 10, verse 35, and while you're doing that. And this is where Jesus Christ makes a statement that is often overlooked. And that statement is, "Scripture cannot be broken." That statement, it sets a non-negotiable rule for biblical interpretation. And our study understanding of Paul's words must fit perfectly with everything else God has revealed. As God's people, we know that God's character is perfect in everything he does or says. His truth is unified and consistent, and his word cannot contradict itself. In other words, God doesn't say one thing here and undo it somewhere else. If we read a scripture and our interpretation clashes with other clear scriptures, then the problem is not the Bible. The problem is our misunderstanding. So, brethren, let's be very clear about what the Bible teaches about who can come to Christ. And I know you've heard this before, but it's good to repeat things to firm it up in our mind. Jesus himself said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And again, in John 6, verse 65, "And no one comes to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." And this truth directly contradicts the popular idea that anyone can accept Jesus whenever they choose. Now, we know that God's calling is selective in this age. The Bible consistently teaches that not everyone is being called at this time. Supporting scriptures in that, in Acts 13:48, Luke writes, "As many as have been appointed to eternal life believed." Notice, brethren, it does not say as many as heard the sermon. It does not say as many as were persuaded, but it does say as many as has been appointed. In Ephesians 2 and 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul explains a frequently misunderstood and misinterpreted principle about God's working with people. So let's turn to Ephesians 2, verse 8 first. This is so familiar, used so often, so much misinterpreted. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Indeed, brethren, faith itself is a gift from God. Faith is not the result from hearing stirring messages from a charismatic evangelical source, perhaps coupled with exhilarating Christian music during a church service. True faith only comes from God, period. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul reminds us that not all men have the faith. So, if Scripture is to remain unbroken, just what then does Paul mean when he is using the words win and save in 1 Corinthians 9:19 and 22, which we previously read? Paul could not have meant in 1 Corinthians 9 that he was converting people or saving them. We must look deeper. So let's look at that word win found in 1 Corinthians 9:19. And the Greek word that is used is kerdano, K-E-R-D-A-I-N-O. The primary meaning of the word kerdano is to gain, to profit, to improve or preserve something valuable, or to prevent loss. It does not mean to convert someone spiritually. For example, in Matthew 18, verse 15, Christ says, "You have gained, kerdano, your brother." This describes restoring a relationship, not converting someone. In 1 Peter 3, Peter writes, "Wives may win, kerdano, unbelieving husbands by conduct." Note that it also applies to husbands with an unbelieving wife. Paul does not say they convert them, only that hostility is generally softened or their marriage relationship is improved. So when Paul says he became all things to all men, he is talking about human relationships, not divine calling. In chapters 8 through 10 of 1 Corinthians, we can see how Paul deals with another specific issue at that time, meat offered to idols and the danger of causing offense. Paul's point is this: he was willing to deny himself lawful things so that he would not unnecessarily offend others and possibly close the door to productive interaction. When Paul was with the Jews, he lived like the Jew and avoided Jewish offenses. When Paul was with the Gentiles, he avoided Gentile offenses. To the weak, he restrained himself. The contents of 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 10 clearly shows self-denial for the sake of helping other people. But notice what Paul does not do. He does not compromise truth, he does not alter doctrine, and he does not pretend God's law is irrelevant. Paul never compromised God's law to gain friendship, but he limited his conduct so as not to offend. Why did Paul conduct himself this way? Well, he did so that he might win kerdano, or gain rapport with people, preserve existing relationships, reduce hostility, real or imagined, and keep the door open to the truth to be revealed at the time God chooses to do so with an individual. Now let's look at that second word, save, in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, which we read previously. Paul says that I might save some by all means. Again, We must look at the Greek word for the word save. It is sozo, and that spells S-O-Z-O. And it means to make safe, to perfect, to deliver, to heal, to preserve, to rescue, and to provide protection from danger. All acts of love, by the way, which I'm sure you see. And we can see in James chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, where James uses the same Greek word, sozo. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save, sozo, a soul from death. In other words, saving some from the consequences of sin. The word save, stated by James, is not final salvation. It is temporary protection from destructive consequences. So let's review what Paul knew. He could not call someone to God. He could not grant salvation. He could not justify anyone. He could not give faith. But he could help people avoid sin, avoid stumbling, and help them to make safer choices in life. So, brethren, what is our role as a Christian today, and what does this mean for us? We are not called to win souls. We are not responsible for converting anyone, and we cannot open minds or grant faith. But we are responsible for being a light and setting an example, living God's way without compromise, avoiding unnecessary offenses, maintaining peace where possible, being faithful representative of God's character. And as Peter stated in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, another well-known scripture, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And if God chooses later on to work through that interaction we have had with someone, he gives the increase. Brethren, our calling is not measured by our increasing the number of church members. Our calling is measured by our faithfulness to live God's way of life. The Apostle Paul deeply understood God's process for calling people, as he stated in another very familiar scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So when God decided on the day of Pentecost to give his Holy Spirit to his people, they, over time, wisely implemented Paul's, Peter's, James, and Jesus' admonitions to become planters and waterers. So like our brethren before us, some of us may be planters. Some of us may be waterers. But we must never forget that only God gives the increase. It is not our responsibility. God knows best when to call a person. We don't. When we understand our role in God's process of calling people, we respect God's sovereignty, and we avoid placing a burden on ourselves that God never gave us.